to take it for granted. As you go into your word, Father, I pray for fresh mercies to be a faithful steward of the mysteries of the kingdom of God. That grant me grace in sufficient measure to open my mouth boldly to minister as an oracle of God. As the word goes forth, let it go forth in power, in clarity, in simplicity, in the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit, to do an internal work in our hearts, because our wills to become more humble and minds further enlightened with the light of the word that comes forth. Is that emotions further controlled, Lord, are the fruit of the Spirit. Father, I pray, as the word goes forth, you have said in your word that you put your words in my mouth. You will cover me under the shadow of your hands, that I may, Lord, plant the heavens and lay the foundation of your heart and see unto Zion, I am your people. I pray for grace to redeem the time, not to say things that are unnecessary. As the word goes forth, let yokes be broken, needs be met. Lord, pray for the spirit of the sons of Issachar, that have a fresh understanding of the times and the seasons, and what we Israel ought to do with the grace and the capability to do it. Thank you, Father, for what you do in our midst today. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of my message today is Overcoming the Foxes, the Little Foxes That Spoil the Vine. Overcoming the Foxes and the Little Foxes That Spoil the Vine. Let's turn our Bibles to Songs of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. We read from the King James Bible, and we also read from the Amplified Bible. Verse 15 says, Take us, the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. Why? It says, for our vines have what? Tender grapes. So you see what is going on here. The Shunammite woman was talking to Solomon, a type of Christ. There was something that was affecting the vine, which speaks about the body of Christ. In every vine, whenever you plant a vine, it's for it to have fruit. So it was telling Solomon, a type of Christ, say, take the foxes. Then now specifies, it says, the little foxes. So when you have a little fox, you can have, so to speak, a mature fox. And the intention of a foxes, either small or big or mature, is to destroy the vine. And they come to attack the vine when the grapes are tender. If you remember when Aaron's rod budded, he said they brought forth buds and blossoms and then almonds. You see, it is a time of blossoming. It's just before you find the fruit in the vine. So that is when the enemy comes and attacks the vine. Let's now read in the book of Songs of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15, Amplified Bible. Say, my heart was touched. Let's read it. My heart was touched, and I fervently sang to him. Who is him? Lord Jesus Christ, my desire. Take for us, the foxes, one, the little foxes that spoil the vineyards of our love. So the fruit of that vineyard that God is expecting is the matured love of God. Are you following me? For our vineyards are in blossom. You see, it is that stage, that is the final stage before the final fruit comes. So Satan is very strategic. So he releases these foxes, so to speak. And the little foxes, you see, they do different things. It is said that the little foxes, they attack the roots of these vines. So once they attack the roots, the Bible says, somewhere in the book of Old Testament, it says, which shall take root downward and bear fruit upward. So if you don't take root downward, and that root will take downward, is being rooted and grounded in love. So I put it in my notes, the vine speaks of us Christians and of the body of Christ, the universal body of Christ. You see that in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 7. That says that the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of what? Israel. So we can see there that the vine speaks of you and I, and also of the universal body of Christ. And the Bible says that we have been ordained to do what? To bear fruit. Not just to bear fruit, that our fruit what? Should remain. So when the foxes come into the vineyard, they attack it just before the fruit gets to the season where the master can come in and harvest it. So let's continue. That's in John chapter 15, verse 16. Lord Jesus Christ said, I have ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth what? Fruit, and that your fruit should remain. But once these foxes and the little foxes attack this vine, there will be no fruit. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. So what are these foxes that we are talking about? Let me explain. God is using foxes to describe people. He can describe character. A fox is a very, very cunning animal. Very, very crafty. I follow him. And the aim of every fox, they are very, very what? Destructive. That verse in the book of Judges, I believe in chapter 15, verses 4 to 5. When Samson was going to take revenge on the Philistines, you know what he did? He caught 300 foxes and he tied them with firebrands and he released them into the cornfields and the vineyards of the what? Of the Philistines. And they destroyed everything. So you can see that foxes are not just cunning and crafty, they are also destructive. Are you all with me? So let's take a cue as we begin to read from the book of Luke, chapter 13, verses 31 to 32. Mind you, we are talking about two types of things here, the foxes and the little foxes. Are you with me? So the Lord Jesus Christ said, we all know that scripture, says, the same day there came certain of the Pharisees saying unto him, that is, they came to Jesus Christ, get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will what? Kill you. What did Jesus Christ say when they said, get thee, that Herod will kill you? They're trying to put fear into him. There's so much fear in the land. And he said unto them, go ye and tell that fox. That crafty guy, Herod, was ruling in Israel at that time. Behold, say behold, I cast out devils and do cures today and tomorrow and the third day I shall be what? Perfected. The love of God must be perfected in the third day in the body of Christ. Now what are we saying? Let me put scriptures behind so you can understand. The foxes or the little foxes speaks about Satan and his nature operating in the air through men to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Bible says we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against wicked spirits in the heavenly place. So foxes in the Bible, are you following me? Or little foxes, wherever you see it, in this context we are talking about, talks about Satan. Say Satan. Satan and his nature operating firstly in the air, say in the air, and also in the flesh through men to make them fulfill the lust of the flesh. Praise the Lord. So the master called Herod a fox. That is, there is a spirit of Herod that can operate in men, that can make them do the desires of the flesh. If you, as I was meditating, I saw that it was the same Herod, not the same Herod in terms of personality, but that occupied that position that the spirit was operating through, that killed John the Baptist. Then he said he proceeded again to vex Satan in the church. And then he took James and he killed James. The Bible says that prayer was made without ceasing for Peter until God opened the gates and he left. So when we talk about Herod in the Bible, or when we talk about foxes in the Bible, or foxes, you also have them in the church. We've already seen that from what Lord God said, what I just read. Also speak about the leadership in the church. Ezekiel chapter 13 verse 4. Ezekiel 13 verse 4. Are we there? Say, oh Israel, thy prophets are like what? The foxes in the desert. What are we saying? As you can have people that are being dominated with this nature of the enemy in their spirit, soul, and body, who are unbelievers. You also have Christians that walk in cunning craftiness. Prophets. False prophets in the body of Christ. I'm that handle the word of God deceitful. That's how you know. That is the character of a fox. A fox is cunning, is crafty, and it will end up bringing about destruction. Are you following me? So that is where we are today as we continue. But see, let's look at the foxes. And then before we go to the little foxes, which is what I want us to concentrate on today. Job chapter 34, verse 20. It talks about what God will do. You know, the Shunammite woman was saying, say, take the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vine. You see, because the fox knows that nature of the enemy, Satan walking through men in the air, both in the leadership and in the church. That's why you know that God has to change the leadership from Saul to David and the priesthood from Eli to Samuel. Judges chapter 34, verse 20 says, in a moment shall they die, and people shall be what? Troubled at what? Midnight. And pass away. And the mighty in shall be what? Taken away. Without hand. So you see, our business is not to attempt to deal with the mature foxes. So to speak, those that Satan inhabits, those that Satan begins to operate through. God said, don't worry. You should not, mighty man. I will take them away in a moment. So I will take them away. Of course, you know the end of Herod, using as a type in New Testament. My Bible says that they were saying, this is the voice of God and this is not the voice of men. I said, an angel came without hand and smote him, and he bred worms immediately. You see, God has to remove the Saul leadership from the body of Christ. He has to do it. We need to see that and we need to understand. But it's got to be without hand. That is not be a physical means. What we are called to do is to pray. As we pray, God begins to work out his purpose and his circumstances in the nation. Praise the Lord. So it's very important that we know that. And as I began to meditate on this issue, you see, I discovered something as I was meditating, talking about this issue of foxes and everything. As I sat down there, you know, I discovered that, you see, Bible says that Herod, he said, Herod wants to kill you. He wants to kill you. It's a spirit. And it's coming against the body of Christ. It's a spirit. It is similar to the spirit of the Amalekites. If you notice, like I was saying earlier on, you know, when God told Moses that he should go to the mountain, and he said each time Moses raised up his rod, Joshua will win down in the valley of Rephidim and so. But each time that Moses' hand came down, he began to lose the battle. What am I saying? You see, there are Amalekites that are troubling Israel. Are you with me? You see, I began to meditate. I began to check. And I saw that the Amalekites were nomadic people in the Bible. They attacked Israel from the rear when they were weak. You see, but the issue is this. For us to overcome the spirit of Amalek in the land, there has to be a Moses standing on the mountain with the rod of authority. For the heavens do rule. That's why I prayed earlier as I sat down there, God spoke to me. We need Aaron's and all to stand in the gap with Moses so that the hands don't go weary. That's what Satan is trying to do. Bring distraction, weariness. So when the hands come down, the Amalekites will prevail. But when the hands go up, Joshua will begin to win. Are you with me? That is why God has to change the leadership. I say it again. Because Saul will not deal with the spirit of Amalek. God told Saul, he said, I remember what the Amalekites did when they waited for Israel when they came out of Egypt. He said, go now and destroy Amalekite. Everybody, their cattle, everything. But see, Saul will not do it. Are you listening with the ears of the Spirit? These same Amalekites are the ones at Ziklag that kidnapped David's men's wives and children. Right now, the church, the body of Christ, were in Ziklag. What that tells us is this. Saul is about to be removed. Are you following me? It was when David was in Ziklag that the Amalekites came and they kidnapped everybody. Then David wept and wept and wept and wept. Then he put on a linen ephod and asked the Lord. He said, what should I do? God said, pursue, overtake, and recover all. That's why we have to keep praying. I have to keep praying. Praise the Lord. And to make sure we're under a David leadership. Praise the Lord. So let's continue. You see, one thing, let me just digress a bit. You see, we're talking about the sin nature here. For the unbeliever, he has a sin nature in his soul, in his spirit, soul, and body. So if God does not have mercy on him, he's going to misbehave. He's going to do what he said he will never do. For the Christian, you have access to the life of God in your spirit. But you must now begin to pump that life daily into your soul, into your body, into your circumstances, so that same nature will not dominate you. We are talking about natures here that can dominate the unbeliever's spiritual and body. And if a Christian allows it, he also dominates him. I follow him. There was a king in the Bible named Asahel. Elisha saw him. And he said, alas. He said, he came to, I think it was Ben-Hadad or so. He said, go and inquire. The king was sick. And then he came and said, will my master survive? He said, he's going to die. He said, but you are going to be the next king. And then all of a sudden, the countenance of Elisha fell. And he began to cry. And said, why are you crying? He said, if I can see what you will do to the children of Israel, you will destroy their homes, you will rip those that are pregnant women. It's a spiritual. He said, you will rip them. As I said, am I a dog that should do this, folks? If you don't deal with the sin nature, you will do it. So let's move on. We've seen the foxes. Now let us look at the little foxes. This is what concerns us as brethren. Because just like I said, I cast out devils. So we can see these are devils. And I do cures today and tomorrow. So the devil is behind the oppression of the fox and little foxes by his spirit in the air. And his intention is to make sure that the vine does not bring forth fruit unto perfection. And once that is not done, there will not be a release of a spirit without measure. So he attacks it at those two stages. Are you all with me? So, the little foxes, I've already mentioned, it speaks of a sin nature operating through the lust of the flesh that hinders us from bringing forth fruit unto perfection. They are little because we tend to overlook them. Are you all with me? They creep on us unawares. We say, well, it doesn't really matter. But you see, I will show you what those little foxes are today by the grace of God. Pastor has shared at the end of the year. He said, this is the year of the first fruits, overcomer, vanguard. And he told us what we are supposed to overcome. If you don't overcome the little foxes, you cannot overcome the big ones. That is our assignment. And he said, told us that, and said, we should be diligent as we approach this coming Feast of Tabernacles, which is the Feast of Fruits. So what are these little foxes? Let's get over it, over talking, overeating, and oversleeping. You can see now, God is not saying we should not talk, but don't talk too much. He's not saying we should not eat, except we don't eat too much. He's not saying that we should not sleep, but don't oversleep. Are you all with me? So these are the things that the little foxes that spoil the vine. If you notice in the book of Song of Solomon, I don't have time to tell you, I think it's chapter 5. The Bible says that Solomon came. He said he put his hand on the door. And he said, arise, my love. Then he said, I just moved my shoes. I'm trying to rest. Then by the time he stood up to come out, Solomon, so to speak, had left. It's in Solomon's Songs of Solomon, chapter 5, thereabout. He said, I when he touched the door handle, he could smell the myrrh. That's what happens many times when the bridegroom, Lord Jesus, comes to us. And you see that little fox of oversleeping. He wakes you up, so to speak, maybe at 4 o'clock. Say, oh, Lord, no, I just went to bed now. And then when you now wake up, later in the day, the anointing to praise no more there. In answer, I went to the streets. I began to seek for my beloved. Say, who has found him? Are you all with me? Praise the Lord. So it's important for us to know that we are talking about these little foxes over talking, over eating, and over sleeping. They are very little because we can ignore them. I say, well, it doesn't really matter. And you can pray anytime you want to. And it doesn't matter what I eat. I'm not under condemnation. I can eat. Yes, you can eat anything. But don't overcharge your heart. Praise the Lord. So, Proverbs, let's look at, first of all, over talking. James chapter 3 verses 2 and 5. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able to what? Bridle the whole body. Are you with me? Verse 5 says, even so, say even so, the tongue is what? A little foxes. The tongue is a little member and boasted of great things. Behold, how great a matter, a little what? Fire kindled. Remember Samson? They put us put little firebrands onto little foxes. And they destroy the entire vine. That Bible says in the book of Proverbs chapter 10 verse 19. Says in a multitude of words they wanted not sin. So we have to be careful what we say. Let your words be seasoned with salt and full of grace. Are you following me? Proverbs 6 verse 2 says that. Thou art snared by the words of your mouth. You see, it's a day we have to be careful of what we say. We can't just speak anyhow. The Bible says somewhere in the book of in the Gospels, he said, everybody will give an account of every idle word that they speak at the end of the day. The words you speak can either set you free or they can act as a trap. That's what it says in Proverbs 6, verse 2. Say, thou art snared. Say, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken. Can you remember that word taken? With the words of thy mouth. So we need to be careful. The Bible says, well, you have whatsoever you say. So it's very important. Proverbs 13 verse 3 says, he that keepeth his mouth, keepeth his life. But he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. That is when you are talking too much. You are expending life. Remember when Jesus Christ sent them out two by two? He said, on the way, don't don't talk to anybody. Say, don't greet anybody. Same thing that I think Elisha did when he sent Gehazi. Why? Because death and life is the power of the tongue. God is not saying we should not talk. But you see, my pastor's preached about taming the tongue. He's saying what, knowing what to say and when to say it. That's the difference. But if we keep talking all the time, you'll be releasing into the air. The life will fill up with either before prayer or after prayer. And then you find out that those words begin to trap you. Then you begin to get weaker and weaker spiritually because the fuel, so to speak, has gone down. Because death and life are where? In the power of the tongue. The antidote is this. In James chapter 1 verse 19. Say, Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man and woman be what? Swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. It's easier said than done. It takes the Spirit of God for you to control your speaking. That's why I said the message is all about the crucifixion of the flesh. These are the little foxes that spoil our vine, that hinder us from bringing forth fruit unto perfection. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. The next one I have is overeating. Say overeating. Overeating. See, God is not saying we should not eat, but only overeat. Luke chapter 21 verse 34. And he said, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your heart, say your heart, be overcharged with what? Surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life. So that they come upon you unawares. This one, it says that watch therefore and pray always. I didn't be accounted what did you stand before the sun. But what I want to say is this. He said, take heed. Say, take. When he says, take, he says, it's a warning. That your hearts be not overcharged with surfeiting, which is eating, or drunkenness, or the cares of your life. Are you following me? He says, because lest that day come upon you unawares. He said, like a snare will it come upon them that dwell upon the face of the earth. So if you don't watch what you eat, which pastor has taught us, which is leading a faster life, knowing what to eat, when to eat, and how much to eat. I recently, when God started dealing with these things, you know, it's as if every hell has broken loose upon me. I began to see things were not as easy as they used to be. I began to fight a battle. Because once the enemy knows that you know what you ought to do, you will need sufficient grace to overcome that battle. Are you following me? So we need to watch out for overeating. Are you following me? Proverbs chapter 30, verses 21 and 22. The Bible says, these three things, the heart is disquieted for, and for which it cannot bear. Verse 22. Say, a servant, when it raineth, and a fool, when it's filled with meat. Have you noticed that when you eat too much, you talk too much? You start misbehaving? The same effect of someone that drinks wine and is drunk. You start talking too much. You can't control your tongue. That will have mercy upon us. So a servant there not just speaks of a physical servant, but somebody, a servant is someone that is dominated by the sin nature. And the Bible says you are servants to whom you obey. Either of sin unto death or of life unto righteousness. So you can see where most of the body of Christ is today. Are you following me? Servants are reigning, both in the nation and also in the church. But God is fixing to change that. For no longer will servants ride horses and princes walk. Amen. Amen. Hide and watch what God will do. Proverbs 21 verse 23 says, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue, keepeth his soul from troubles. There's a way to keep yourself, your tongue. We'll see as we continue. What is the antidote? Ecclesiastes chapter 10 verse 17 says that eat, talking about princes, he said they eat in due season for strength and not for drunkenness. You're not feeling yourself. You go to a party, they serve, and then you take everything. No, I have to learn temperance. I must be honest. You know, you go to a place and they serve what you don't normally eat. I'm about to say, bismatic rice or what do they call it? Basmati, mommy. It's different for the rice I eat at home. So, who knows when I'm going to eat it? So let me ask, who take for today, tomorrow, and next tomorrow? Oliver Twist is always asking for more. But we end up misbehaving that day. Are you following me? It sounds funny. But if you don't have self-control, you find out that you will indulge in the flesh. You just fill up. After a fast, you will revenge, like we say. Take revenge. If it's a 7 day, if it's a 3 day fast, all the meat of the past 3 days, you eat it in 1 day. If it's a 7 day fast, are you following me? God will have mercy on us. Amen. You see, but God wants us to overcome them. And there is a way to overcome them. So don't let us dwell on the problem. Let's see how God. The antidote says, will you eat? Inducing for what? Strength. Say, for eat for strength. And not for drunkenness or gluttony. And I have two examples here. Daniel and Esau. The Bible says about Daniel. Daniel chapter 1 verse 8. I will just quote. He says that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not define himself with the king's meat. So he asked for pauses. I'm not saying, no, I didn't mention. Well, I don't want to mention kind of food. But there are some foods that I eat that I know that will make me feel drowsy. You will know. Are you following me? So, if you contrast that to Esau, I'll read Esau. We know the story of Daniel in Daniel chapter 1. The Bible says, as for these four Hebrew children, God gave them. But the Bible says that, look, one of the reasons, not all, because the Bible says Daniel prayed 3 days I was gone. One of the reasons was that the Bible says Daniel purposed that not to defile himself with the king's meat. That is, was not. The Bible says, when you sit with a ruler, he said, put a knife to your throat. If you be give it to appetite. He said, beware of his deceitful meat. Deceitful, what is a deceitful meat? The meat that you will eat that will make you act the way you don't want to eat, don't want to act. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. Let's look at it. We're talking about overeating. It can cost you like it costs Esau. And Genesis chapter 25, verses 30 to 34. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with the same red pottage, for I'm faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I'm at the point to die. And what forfeit shall this birthright do to me? Folks, Hebrews says, for a muscle, one, Bible, Hebrews even says, yes, for a one muscle, not two. He sold his birthright. You never know when these little foxes can cost. You see, it may be not just physical. If you can extrapolate, it can determine why you do what you do. Why you pick the job you pick. Are you following me? The Bible says, meat for the belly for meat. It says, but the Lord will destroy it and the food. The next thing it says is that the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. I find that the Bible seems to be saying that if you don't control your appetite, especially concerning overeating, you may be prone to immorality. So meat is in 1 Corinthians 6. Say meat for the belly and the belly for meat. Say the Lord will destroy them. But now says, but the body is not for fornication. I give you another scripture. He says, don't be like that profane, don't be that like that Hebrews chapter 5, like that fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one muscle but forsook his birthright. Now, we don't have a record that Esau committed fornication. But we are saying that, Lord, the Bible equates overeating can lead to that. I give you another scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It says that neither be ye, verse 7, neither be ye like some of them who are idolaters, as were some of them. As it was written, the people did what? Sat down to eat and drink. The next thing was, rose up to play. Now verse 8 says, neither let us commit fornication. I give you three scriptures. He's not saying that anytime you overheat, you are going to commit fornication. But he's saying that it's going to take possession, or you are going to be drowsy. Your guard will be down. Are you with me? Your guard will be down. You need to watch this area. It makes, it says, drowsiness will clothe a man with rags like rags. Are you with me? So you see that there's a link there from those scriptures. You can see it talks about overeating. The next it talks about people committing fornication. Now, it's not every time you know that you when you overeat, but understand what I'm saying. If you indulge in the flesh and you are not able to control the Papa Egan says something, say whatever controls the spirit, whatever feeds the spirit, starves the flesh. Whatever starves the spirit, feeds the flesh. It's about leading a fast life. Paul said, I keep my body under. So that after I preach others, I will not be a castaway. We need to learn to keep our body under. Praise the Lord. So as we continue, the last point I have here is oversleeping. See, oversleeping. Oversleeping. Don't put yourself, when we are praying in the mornings, on the sleep mode. You know, it's like you put the TV on the sleep mode, it's not seeing anything. It's active, but not active. Mercy, Lord. We've all slept before. Folks, I've slept before. Now that I'm saying, if you slept this morning, don't be under condemnation. That's what I'm saying. But you see, this is one of the problems, again, that we have to overcome. You see, every time we gather to pray, as I was thinking about this, there is a measure of power that must go out from that altar that day. So it's like opening different taps. So if you fall asleep, it's like locking your tap. So if God needs, so to speak, 500, 6 million gallons of life to deal with insurgents, to deal with different things, and you turn off your tap by sleeping, that tap is there, but it's not active. Nothing is coming out of your belly. To that degree, will you delay or hinder what God wants to do? Will not delay in Jesus' name. Let's put the scripture behind it. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 30 to 34. I went by the field of the slothful, and by the what? Vineyard of a man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles. And nettles had covered the face thereof. And the stone wall thereof was broken down. Verse 32. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received what? Instruction. Verse 33. We're talking about this. Say yet. A little sleep, not much. A little slumber, not much. A little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. We need to fight this thing. We need to fight it though. Over talking, overeating, oversleeping. In all of them, it's just a little. Say how a little fire kindled the tongue. That talks about a little leaven that leavens the whole lump. Say little sleep. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 9 to 11. Say, how long without sleep, O sluggard? When without arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of your hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Praise the Lord. The example I have is Peter, James, and John at Gethsemane. It was a critical time for the master, and also a critical time for Peter, James, and John. If you notice, the master addressed Peter because he was the head of the pack of three. He said, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. But says he went the first time. He came back. He said, couldn't you watch with me 1 hour? He said, watch it therefore, so you enter not into temptation. Bible says he went again and he came back. Because I have mercy on us. He says, when he came back, he said, now, their eyes were heavy. You know when people sleep and your eyes are red? You know, your eyelids are red. Can you imagine in that critical hour that great decisions have been made? They slept. And the third time when he came back, he said, okay, no problem, guys. You just sleep on. Don't worry. It's too late now. Just there's a time to pray. There's time to sleep. May we not sleep when we ought to be praying? Because everything in the spirit world is dynamic. There's a time to pray. If you don't pray when you ought to pray, it will be a question of, you can take your rest now. It's too late. Because there's a time for everything under the sun. So they slept. And we all know the story. And as I was preparing, I put this down in such a, the world gave it to me this way. The sleep you don't deny will lead you to deny him under pressure. The sleep that you do not deny will force you to deny him under pressure. Nobody wants to deny Christ. But you see, it's the question of the power that is coming out of you to subdue the flesh. If it is not there, how come Jesus did not deny purpose and destiny when he went to the cross? But Peter, James, and John, they all ran away. Jesus Christ told them, he said, the spirit indeed is willing. The flesh is, what makes the flesh weak? It is this same sin nature we are talking about. That's what makes your flesh weak. Praise the Lord. So why is this message very important? Reason number one, they hinder our bearing the fruit of love unto perfection, which will affect our prayer fruit. It's when these little foxes creeping, over talking, over eating, over sleeping, they hinder us from bearing fruit unto perfection because they will destroy the tender grapes that are just coming forth on the vine. John chapter 15, verse 6, now I'll read. Say, you have not chosen me. Read together. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and I have ordained you that you should go and do what? Bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Why? So that whatever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Locked in there is the spirit without measure. When you start perfecting and you perfect the love of God, you come to that place like Samuel that none of his words fell to the ground. So whatever you ask, I will give it to you. We're gradually entering that season in which the Bible says, ask of me and I will give you the nations. It will not be a question of debate. When it begins to bear permanent fruit, are you following me? God begins to download that spirit, that measure. And I will give you the hidden for thy inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy what? Possession. And you sanctify it back unto our King. Praise the Lord. Second point here is this. It can hinder us from receiving the fullness of our inheritance. Don't say it's a little sleep, a little slumber, or overeating. This thing comes back to me the second time. God wants me to say it. There was a man of God that, Papa again, the Lord sent him to go and warn him in three areas. I won't mention his name. He said, number one, judge yourself regard to your love towards the brethren. The second thing says, you judge himself in the area of money. It has to do with covetousness. And then finally, he says, you judge himself concerning overeating. The man did not, and he died prematurely. Powerful man of God. Powerful man of God. Brother Kennedy said he had a tent. You know, the man would say something like, he's going to build the tent that is bigger than the other man's tent. He's going to have the biggest. They would start saying that my tent is going to be bigger. You know, they have tent meetings. So there was a day, I can't remember the story. He said they brought about six people from the deaf and dumb home and they brought them to the altar. And he said the man laid hands on them before everybody. I can't remember six or seven, or, you know, not up to ten. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, whatever number. And instantly they began to hear and to speak. The whole people, everybody in the tent went wild. You know what the man said? Papa again said, he said, hold on. Are you going to paraphrasing? He said, stay here without giving an offering. Of course, people want to give an offering. But that's the wrong spirit. Handling the word of God deceived. And he now said something like, don't come here with your, I can't remember the example, don't come here with $1. Bible says, talks about the spirit of Cyrus. He said, let go the captives, not for price, not for reward. He died at the age of 40 something or so. Powerful man of God. Terribly anointed, like we say. Am I saying that to despise? No. I say, take it to yourself and to the doctrine. One of the things that he was warned about was his habit in eating. Lord will have mercy on us. So, I already talked about, I said, can hinder us from receiving the fullness of our inheritance. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16. Esau, say, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one muscle, just one muscle of meat, sold his birthright. Will not sell our birthright in Jesus' name. I already quoted 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I read in verse 27 from my NIV. See, Paul was talking. He said, no, I strike a blow to my body. I make it my slave. See, I make my body my slave. So that after I preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the price. There is a price of a high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The top point I have is to enable us to be more obedient and make us a channel of life to others. See, if you don't deny yourself in these three basic areas of a loss of the flesh, it was going to hinder the outflow of the life of God from you. It's going to affect your obedience. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 5 verse 7, says even the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with tongues and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and he was heard in that event, though he were a son. He says, and learned he what? Say obedience. That word learn is practice obedience by the things which he suffered. Jesus Christ did not suffer sickness, poverty, but he suffered daily self-denial. That was why he was able to obey God. That was why it took him 3 hours to pray to obey God at Gethsemane. Anytime you begin to find yourself disobeying, go back to the place of prayer and inject more life into your body so that you can obey God. Praise the Lord. So, I have a scripture here. 1 Peter chapter 4, that's verses 1 and 2. Say, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same. Says, See, with the same mind. For he that hath what? Suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. You can't stop sinning until you suffer in the flesh to a certain degree. Next verse. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. Next verse. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. When we walk in lasciviousness, lack of self-control, lust, excesses of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable adulteries. I discovered something. I'm not going to preach it as a doctrine. If I don't spend like 3 hours in prayer, my Bible reading, communion prayer, every day, I found out diligently when I don't sleep, I found out that it's very difficult to kill the flesh for me. I don't preach as a doctrine. I find out by the grace of God, when I start going to Jesus, I find about 3 hours. So when I don't do it properly, I find out it's a bit difficult from that day to crucify my flesh. In fact, before I leave the house, I will start thinking of what I'm going to eat. Yes. And before, you start talking too much. Are you following me? And then it's a cycle. By the time you get back to the house, after you've eaten too much, we talk too much, you are going to oversleep. And then the next thing, they will put you in the waiting room. Next thing. You guys won't understand. Now you see, Pastor Wale will be calling. Mercy, Lord. Thank God for brethren. Hey, just call. My phone will be ringing. Ah, God. The prayer meeting has started. You guys, it's because we don't have a prayer. There's no waiting room in the good evening, Jesus. Yes. I don't want to wait in vain. No. That song says, praise the Lord. So, what are we saying? If you don't crucify your flesh, are you following me? You are not going to be able to obey God, and you will not be able to be a channel of life to others. Pastor quoted the scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 11 to 12, and a link together. Say, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Now, link the next verse. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. For every head of every family, death must work in you in the place of self-denial. That life can work in the lives of those that are under you. Very important. Death worketh in you, life in others. Praise the Lord. Now, how are we going to achieve this? Like I said, it's easier said than done. It's by crucifying the flesh. Crucifying the flesh by the Spirit. It's not gra-gra. It's not, you can't do it by the flesh. You can't say, okay, I'm not going to talk today. So you keep quiet. You will talk. Because I'm not going to eat today. I follow. That's why you find out on a day you're supposed to fast, you find out that if you're not prayed up properly, you find that even before when the first day of the fast begins, you everything will be shaking like this. Why? Because there isn't sufficient power to kill that desire in the flesh. Lord will have mercy on us. So how do we do it? By daily crucifying the flesh. Let me summarize how God gave it to me. We take the foxes. Don't mind, you are talking about the little foxes. We take the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vine, by daily denying ourselves and taking up. Say taking up across daily. To take those foxes, so to speak, because you as a metaphor, you take up your cross daily. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Said, if any man will follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. That's how you deal or overcome those little foxes. Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. Says, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with what? The affections and lust. So how do we do it? To break it down? Say battle prayer, communion prayer, and washing of feet. We all know, so I don't need to go over this again. If you are listening for the first time, you can see all these things on the church's website. Say battle prayer, when we pray with all kinds of prayer in the spirit. Say communion prayer, we are praying to commune with God. And then washing of feet every 6 hours at every opportunity and every temptation. And I say once again, that this is why God has created the avenue for Good Morning Jesus. By the time you get up at 5, you do 1 hour of prayer, with all kinds of prayer in the spirit. It's a forum that God has raised up for us to practice. And then you see, the thing is that you may sleep. We may have overeaten last night. Are you following me? But that's not, you still join. And then like they will be shouting during the prayer meeting. Don't take the position that will make you sleep. You know, stand up. Do this. Do that. Do this. Just obey. God, you see, don't say because I slept yesterday. No. Join. Just keep joining. Peter, James, and John, they slept, but they still made it, right or wrong. So I'm not saying sleep. That's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is this. As you practice, this practice makes perfect. I follow him. You come to that place whereby from the beginning of the confession that they make, the sanctifying of the altar, you start knowing everything of it. As they are saying it, you are saying that. As you are saying it, as they are saying that. As they are calling fire, you are calling fire. Are you following me? Yes. And then by the end of it, you find that you are better. Your prayer life has increased. You've grown spiritually. Your capacity has increased. If you start with one, then move to the second hour. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. It's very, very important. So we don't miss this opportunity in which God has sent the vine dresser to dung the vine. Very important. We are talking about the vine today. Now, to summarize, this causes a regular flow of a life of God. As when we walk in the spirit and praying, what it does is this. It causes a regular flow of a life of God into our wills, minds, emotions, and our bodies to control the lust of the flesh. So what we have to do every day when we read that place of prayer is to make sure that we keep the flow. Say, keep the flow. Keep the flow all day long. From your spirit to your soul to your body. From your spirit to your soul to your body. Last scripture, Isaiah 28, from verses 9 to 12. We talked about little foxes. So what God has demanded us to do when we lead our place of prayer is something little. So we'll see now. Isaiah 28, verses 9 to 12. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. That speaks of being delivered from carnality. Weaned. For precepts must be upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Line upon line. Here a little and there a little. Let me stop for a minute. If you notice those prayers, they are structured prayers. Say precept upon precept. The sanctifying of the altar. Are you following me? Confession of sins. You know, it's like that. It's precept. You can't just pray haphazardly. No. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Line upon line. He now begins to say here a little. Say here a little. There a little. A little here for the nation. A little here for the family. A little here for different aspects. In that time of prayer. He says that four. Say four. Now this is the little where the dude comes in. So for with stammering lips and another tongue, will he speak to these people to whom he said, this is what? Rest. Wherewith he may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. I won't read that last part. Say, yeah, they will not hear. We'll hear in Jesus' name. So it is those stammering lips when praying in tongues in the course of the day, washing of feet. Hear a little. Hear a little. With stammering lips. Building up yourself on your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. That's how you are going to overcome the two foxes that are seeking to spoil the vine and destroy the tender grapes. Praise the Lord. Let's talk to the Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's talk to God. Don't let's be under any form of condemnation. God is trying to let us know what Israel ought to do. I cast out devils and I do cures. And in this third day, I shall be perfected. In this third day, oh, the salvation of Nigeria will come from Israel. The salvation of this nation does not lie in any man. It's inside the Zion Church, the first fruits overcomer vanguard. I've learned to rule in the midst of our enemies. Father of lights, draw me closer. Please let's stand to our feet as we pray.
Father of light, draw me closer. Lord, my heart is set on you. Let me run the race of time with your life and hold in mind, and let the peace of God let it reign. Oh, Holy Spirit, you're my comfort.
Strengthen me.
Strengthen me. Hold my head up high. And stand upon your truth.
Bringing glory.
Bringing glory unto you. And let the peace of God let it reign.
Our souls with the very life of God, the life, the light, and the love of God. For then and only then will we crucify the flesh with his affections and lusts. For they that are Christ are crucified the flesh of his affections and lusts. Let's lift our hands as we pray. Lord, please have mercy on us, and so we receive your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Your life and your power in sufficient measure for this prayer. Heavenly Father, I receive fresh mercy and grace to daily deny myself, resisting diligently by the Spirit the lust of the flesh, especially over talking, over eating, and over sleeping, and over indulgence in anything to do the will of God, knowing that God gives me all things richly to enjoy in His time, in this lifetime, and also joy and peace and long-suffering to endure self-denial by acknowledging the Lord with thanksgiving in my thinking, for mercy, for fullness of joy, and pleasures forevermore in God's presence, to be faithful and to triumph always in self-denial in Jesus. And let's now pray in the Spirit. Oh, Rabasun Tramasalaba Kurubasalaba Kutopanabo, thank you for your mercies. Rabasun Tramalot, thank you for grace. Rabasun Tramasalaba Kutopasalaba, thank you for the power of the Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for your blood. Rabasun Tramas, your life, your Balabasulaba Kutopre, your power, Ramasun Tramasalaba, saturate our souls, Lord, with your very life. Rabasun Ramasalaba Kutopre, Kutopre, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's once again pray for our healing. Bible says that he sent his word and he healed them and deliver them for their destructions. If you need healing, just by faith. The Bible says that he sent his word and he delivered them for their destructions. Heavenly Father, under covering of our spiritual fathers, we pray for healing for everyone whose hands raised up, either here present or online watching at this time. We rebuke every spirit of infirmity. I will set this Lord God, your angels who minister to them. We also break every demonic oppression that is coming against the soul. Every spirit of depression, we break your hold over every soul. Everyone is lifted up here. Thank you, Father, for confirming your word with signs following. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit.